Tonight's we're in a series on why I believe what I believe. And tonight I want to preach a message on why I believe in Christianity. In other words, why I believe Christianity is good. Why I believe it's the right thing. Not only conversion and being saved, but why I believe in Christianity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you look there in one verse tonight, just one, verse 17. A very powerful verse, and it certainly connects to Christianity more than any other religion. Verse 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this one verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Old things are passed away. At least that's the way it's supposed to be. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If somebody really gets saved, that's true about them in their life. If any man be in Christ, if he's saved, if he or she is born again, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. Christ has an impact on the individual. A great impact on the individual. I believe that Christianity has benefited the whole world. Madeline Murray O'Hare, before she died, went wherever she went, I think I know, but she said there's nothing good has ever come from Christianity. What a statement. Nothing good has ever come from Christianity. If there's nothing good that, if Christianity has not produced anything good, nothing good has come from Christianity, you might as well hang it up and forget about it. But the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. That means it will be changed, will be converted, will be saved, and our lives will change, and that will be reflected in our lives as Christians, as it was in the early church. Now, Christianity does not teach that we're all perfect. We're perfect in Christ, but as far as living out the rest of our life, we're not all perfect. And that's where some people get in trouble, I believe. They're looking for that perfection out of Christians. We're not perfect. Remember, the Bible says we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. Just a little reminder of who we are. It doesn't give us an excuse to sin, but it reminds us that we're depraved individuals that have been born again. And that treasure's in earthen vessels. I'm convinced that Christians also have been misunderstood, but they have been blamed for many things that they did not do and they were not guilty of doing. And we go back into some history in order to make some points that would back up that particular kind of thing. One of the greatest and darkest blotches, if you know much about church history, was the Spanish Inquisition. The Spanish Inquisition was horrible. It was barbaric. People were killed. People were burned at the stake. All kinds of things happened. Now, was this Christians persecuting non-Christians? A lot of people would say it was. It wasn't really. You know who it was? It was some people who called themselves Christians who really were persecuting the true Christians. That's what was really going on. Members of the Inquisition party were really not true Christians. Christianity had gotten to such a low ebb. It had really no power. It was nothing but rites and rituals and tradition. It had no force to it. It had no heart to it whatsoever. And that was the way it was during the Dark Ages. The gospel was almost forgotten in what we would call Christianity. In many cases, a lot of the cases, the persons who were doing the Inquisition, those people were people that claimed to be saved but were not really saved. And then those that were true Christians were victims of those who produced the Inquisition. You had many Christian Protestants, born-again people during that time that were really saved. They rejected the papal authority. They rejected the Church of Rome, they rejected all of those superstitions, and as a result, they were persecuted. The true Christians were killed in so many cases. Edgar Allan Poe wrote a book called The Pit and the Pendulum. Some of you may have read it, but the book is all about, it's a picture of the Spanish Inquisition of the Roman Church and how they tortured, absolutely tortured and butchered and mistreated and killed and murdered English Christians, English Protestants, we might call them. But those who are guilty of the Inquisition, the Inquisitors, were really not Christians themselves. Now, what has Christianity accomplished? Has it accomplished anything? Has Christianity made any kind of difference in our world? Christianity has become a world force. It wasn't before that, but it became, in short order, a world force. And by the way, against the most staggering odds, I mean very staggering odds, they went out and told the people that a carpenter had come and he claimed to be the Son of God and that he had died and he had been buried and he arose. And that was their story. And that was, they were telling the truth. But let's put it into the modern type setting. Let's suppose today that all of a sudden somebody came over here to America and they said, we're missionaries. And you said, well, what do you want to tell us? And they said, well, there was a man in Persia the other day that died and was buried and arose, and he claims to be the one who is in charge of the whole cosmos. How many of you would believe that? Well, we know better anyway, but I mean, if we didn't know better, how many of us would really believe that? We know better. We know it's not going to be that way. And so those are the kind of odds they were up against. In other words, who's going to believe that a carpenter who had a story that he was born of a virgin, that he lived this life here, and that he was buried, and that he arose, and that he was, in fact, God who came down here to earth? That's a pretty bold statement. Well, why did it succeed? Given the odds against it, which seemed like it would never be believed, why did it succeed as a result of that? I'll tell you why I believe it succeeded. It's because God was in charge, and it had supernatural power, and bless your heart tonight, it still has supernatural power. Christianity has supernatural power. That's exactly what the apostles did. They preached that truth. And the Roman Empire was impacted by it. They actually, in a sense, overthrew the pagan empire. How did they do it? Through the power of God, who honored and blessed the truth about Jesus Christ and Christianity. And then Christianity began to grow and grow and grow. It took some persecution at the beginning, but it continued to grow. And then there were some times where it seemed like it was going to be accepted by the Roman Empire. Then came along a man by the name of Julian the Apostate. Julian the Apostate tried to overthrow Christianity, and he tried to reestablish the pagan religions of the Roman Empire and the Roman religions. One of the followers of the empire asked a Christian this question. He said, "What is your carpenter son doing now?" After Julian came to power. And this was the answer that the Christian gave him. I like it. He said, "He's making a coffin for your emperor." And guess what? It wasn't long. It wasn't very long at all until Julian was mortally wounded. And he fell to the ground and picked up some sand mingled with his blood, and he cried out, "Thou hast conquered, O Galilean." See, God was in charge of all that. And he realized it wasn't going to be done. Christianity changed the Roman Empire. It really did. The march of Christianity continued. There was, of course, the blood of martyrs. But hey, the blood of martyrs was the seed of the church. If you've never read the little booklet, Trail of Blood, you ought to read it. You ought to get it. Do we have that in our bookstore? If not, we ought to get some. I think we have a few of those. A little small booklet. You ought to read it about tracing the early church and the martyrs and all down through. But the church, the seed of the church, was the blood of those that were born again, the blood of the Christians. But soon a Christian was on the throne in the Roman Empire in Rome, and the empire collapsed before the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a mighty Roman Empire. I want to tell you tonight, we do not know, we do not understand, probably like we should, how much we owe Jesus Christ. We just don't understand. Young people, you can't comprehend. And adults, we cannot comprehend fully like we should what we really owe Jesus Christ. What we really owe God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are in a Christian nation, anybody that's in anything like a Christian nation, they ought to thank God a million times over. A million times over. And it is the goodness and mercy that is in the world, and all that is in the world of the goodness and mercy, I promise you, comes from Jesus Christ. It wouldn't be there if it wasn't coming for Him. Go back and think about the gladiators. Hundreds of thousands of gladiators. I've been to Rome, and I've seen the Colosseum, the circus. Now they have sort of the flooring out and all of that, and some of the seats are all out. Some of you probably have been there and seen it. But what they used to do there, you think Dallas Cowboys had a show. Let me tell you, friend, they would take these gladiators out there. Many times they were Christians, and they would fight till one killed the other. In hundreds of thousands, get that in your mind if you can, hundreds of thousands of gladiators were killed. They killed each other there in the circus, in that place called the Colosseum, year after year after year. Finally, there was a man supposed to be a monk and a Christian. His name was Telemachus. And Telemachus jumped in the arena one time between two gladiators. And as the story goes, he was trying to stop them and he was killed. And the gladiators put their swords through him and killed him. And there was silence in all of the arena. And as a result of that, the emperor who was there watching it, in the solemnity of that moment, those few moments after he was killed, and thinking about who he was, he stopped the gladiator shows from going on. All because it went back to one Christian, one person who had that kind of influence. And Christ is the one who gives worth to human life. Believe me, human life is something that Christ honors. And some of the things I'll talk about here in just a moment, coming right up, you can relate that to what's happening today in abortion and all of those things. Because we're trying to get back to that kind of stuff. The children today, basically in our culture, and for years in our Christian America, have been loved. They've been loved and cherished. Oh, I know they can be scalawags once in a while, but even when they're scalawags, we love them, don't we? You know. But we love our children, and that's a hallmark of Christian people, that we love our children. The Romans, their fathers, the father of their children, they had all power, total power over their child. They could expose that child to death, and nobody would question it. That was just part of their culture. They could mutilate that child. They could marry that child. They could divorce that child. They could sell that child as a slave. They could kill that child and satisfy their own lust. That's what abortion's all about, the convenience of free sex and the convenience of not having a child around. And so they would do that to satisfy their own lust. You could kill a man, and it was a crime. You could kill a child in the Roman Empire, and it really wasn't considered anything bad. In fact, sometimes it was considered a beautiful thing. Tacitus, a writer, said that there were pictures recorded in history and back in that time of the newborn children. And when they were one day old, they would take them out, put them on the side of a mountain, and if some renegade people would get them, that was all right. If the animals got them, that was all right. They didn't care. They did that. They did that. That's no more horrendous than abortion. Amen? It's all bad. You murder a little child in the womb, or you murder a little child that's just being born, and to get some of the material out of their brain cells and all, friend, that's murder. But Jesus changed all of that when he showed that he loved little children. One of my favorite pictures of Jesus, though it's not Jesus as such, but the idea is there that he has little children sitting on his lap. And he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus is the reason, Christianity is the reason that children around the world in those cultures are loved more than many of the others from the very outset of it. And Jesus changed a lot of that that had to do with infanticide. Women, listen up. You better thank God for Jesus and Christianity. Because if it were not for Christ, you would be nothing but property of men and property of the society. A long time ago, the Hindus, the Brahminical writings that they had, read like this: a woman is never fit for independence. Women have no business with the scriptures of the Hindus, and sinful women must be as foul as falsehood itself. That'd make you want to be a Hindu, wouldn't it, ladies? I don't think so. And then Robert Ingersoll, who was an obnoxious skeptic, lectured against the Bible, and this is what he said: women are better off in heathen lands than they were in Christian lands. In other words, get them out of the Christian land. They don't deserve it. Send them to the heathen. Let the heathen kill them. Do whatever they want to do with them. That was his take on it as a person who was not a Christian. The traveler went over to Africa and a number of years ago, and he was in the central part of Africa. And one of the tribal chiefs had died, and they were going through their ceremony. They had quite a few ceremonies in Africa. Some of you who went over there saw some of those things. Not just like this, but we saw that they're very ceremonial type people. And so what happened, what they did on this occasion, they changed the route of a river that was coming through there and rerouted a little bit and made a bog out of it. And they covered the bottom of it, all of this mud and everything, with live women. They put them down in the bottom of it. On one end, they had a woman, one of the wives, that was on her hands and knees. And then they put the chief up on her back. And then a couple of his other wives were there to hold him up, or at least one of them was there to hold him up. Then they covered the chief with beads, and they covered them with all of his treasures, a lot of the treasures that the chief had, and he was supported at least there by one wife doing that. The second wife would sit at his feet. His second wife would sit at his feet. That was their tradition. All of the women, all of them, were buried alive with the chieftain. Buried alive. Except for the second wife. And she was shown mercy because she was killed first so that she would not be buried alive. I don't think we want any of that culture. You say, well, that was a long time ago. You'd be surprised what's going on right now around the world and the other religions and the way they treat women. The Indian custom of Sati, the Hindu-type custom, the wives were almost expected to jump on the bier of their dead husband as they burned it up and to burn up with it. It was just part of their culture. What about slavery? By the way, I just remind you, Jesus had an impact on women. What about slavery? In Rome, the Roman Empire, one half of the Roman Empire, at least one half most of the time, were slaves. In the city of Athens, they had 400,000 people. 300,000 of those people were slaves. And I'm not, there's slavery in America has been horrendous, but slavery there then was horrible. You cannot imagine how horrible slavery was during that time. They were brutal. They would kill their slaves. Sometimes, if somebody would come over and they had never seen anybody die, never seen anybody killed, they would pick out a slave and kill the slave just for the entertainment of their guests. That's not fiction, folks. That really took place. And there are many other things that they did like that. But thank God the gospel brought an end to that. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, Christianity. You remember the letter that Paul wrote to Philemon? And things began to change. And usually what they would do, if a slave would run away, they would kill that slave as soon as they caught that slave. But that slave went into prison, and Paul led him to Christ, amen? And he wrote back to Philemon, and he said, I'm going to send Onesimus back to you, and I want you to accept him, not as a slave, but as a brother. As a brother. And Onesimus became a Christian. And Paul said this, receive him, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother. Receive him as a brother. 1 year before the Protestant Reformation, Spain and Portugal tried to bring up slavery again, reviving slavery. We follow what happened to that, and then think about England. It was finally abolished in England. One of the greatest men that had anything to do with it was a man by the name of William Wilberforce. All great people, important people, have initials WW. No. No, not true. But his name was William Wilberforce. Wilberforce got saved under Wesley's preaching. Wesley preached, Wilberforce got saved. Wilberforce was one of the most powerful, he was a little short, stooped over man, he was one of the most powerful prime ministers of England that ever lived. And he fought and fought and fought and fought until he helped abolish slavery there in England. And then we come back to America and slavery here. And really, it was the pulpits in the northern part of our country. Now you Southerners are just going to have to suck it up and take this. I'm a Southerner, as far as that goes. I'm a Christian first, amen? But the pulpits of the North preached, and the abolitionists took their action. And finally, as a result of that, there was success, and slavery was stopped in America, and it should have been. Slavery has never been part of God's plan. He allows it, but he certainly does not agree with it. And then what about pagans? Has Christianity had an impact on the Aborigines? Has Christianity had an impact on pagan cultures in the land? What about missions? Thank God for missions and missionaries. They carry the gospel, and they have. Some of the pioneers years ago carrying the gospel to people all around the world in some rough situations. I want to quote a man, and I'll tell you who he is. You'll be surprised. In a voyager, to forget these things is base ineptitude. He's talking about missions and the result of missions. For should he chance to be at the point of shipwreck on some unknown coast, he will most devoutly pray that the lesson of the missionary may have preceded him. You know who said that? You'd be surprised. Charles Darwin made that statement. What he was saying, he said, if you land on an island where some of those people are, you better hope the missionaries have been there before you, because you're not going to have lunch, they're going to have you for lunch. Missionaries, preaching of the gospel. Christianity has brought to the world. Christianity, not the Muslim faith and not any of the others, but Christianity has brought to the world liberty and freedom through the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have time to go into all of these things, but if you go back and read the Mayflower Compact, you'll see how important Christianity was in that. If you'll go back in the documents of the original colonies, you'll see Christianity there. They would roll over in their graves today hearing what we hear in our society today. They would be totally against it. But the only force I think we really have today that would stop our loss of freedom is God-fearing Christians who stand up and do what they should do. You know, communism hates Christianity, doesn't it? Reckon why that is. We know why it is. They hate Christianity. But Christianity would do them more good than anything on the face of the earth. But they'd choose to not believe in God. In North Korea and South Korea years ago, North and South Korea, and think about them today, North Korea, communist and hardline and mean and cruel and all of that. And then South Korea, now there's some Christians in North Korea, I understand that. But in South Korea, basically, more or less, revival going on there. And in South Korea, a lot of great, some of the largest churches, maybe the largest church in the world, is there in South Korea. Well, the North Koreans feared the Bible. For some reason, they feared the Bible. Well, the leader of the military in South Korea knew that, and so he said, well, since they fear the Bible, I'm going to get a bunch of Bibles and pass them out. And he got some New Testaments, and he passed them out to all of his soldiers. He himself was a Buddhist, but he passed out the Bible to these soldiers. You better not do that. It's going to get loose. Amen? Like a lion. And the result was they began to read those Bibles, and scores and scores and thousands of them got saved. And even to this very day, we're seeing some of the results of that thing. He thought he was being smart. God said, I'll show you who's in charge. I'll just use this. And hundreds of thousands got converted. That's why South Korea, one of the reasons that they're Christian like they are, Christianity made a difference in North Korea or South Korea. What if everyone in America got saved? Wouldn't that be great? Now, I'm not talking about this silly, play-like, pussyfooting Christianity. I'm talking about the real deal, where you get saved just like the Bible said here. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We got too much of this other junk around. I'm going to tell you we do. Some people, I just don't know if they've ever really got it. They went through the motions. They did all that stuff. But I don't know if they really got it. Their life didn't change. Their life has not changed over the years. They're still going through it, faking it a whole lot, I think. But what if everybody in America got saved? Wouldn't it be great? The jails would be empty. We wouldn't have to have locks on our doors. I can remember the day when you didn't lock your door. When Christianity was powerful in America, and when it was more respected, and when the Bible was held up, I can remember we'd go to church on Sunday night. We wouldn't lock our door out in the country. We'd jump in the truck, head for church, and come back. We just didn't do it. If everybody got saved, the bars would be closed. The pornographic places would be closed. Pornography would be put out of business. The strip joints would be closed down. All of that would be done. There'd be no killing. There'd be no rape. There'd be no riots. There'd be no murders. There'd be no abortions. Wouldn't be any of that if everyone in America got saved. It's probably not going to happen. But I do believe if a true Christian is really born again, it's going to change their lives. If everybody really got saved, it'd change their lives. What about science and education? Christianity has done more for promoting true science along the years than any other religion or anybody else. The Muslims, they haven't promoted it at all. They would not in any way have recognized or honored it or funded it because they are fatalistic. They believe in fatalism. And then you have the Buddhists who believe that the physical world really isn't true. You know, they're sort of kin to the Christian Science people who think that it's all in your mind until they die. But at any rate, science, all of this, we would not have achieved what we've achieved over the years had it not been for the influence of Christianity who allowed these things to go on. The YMCAs, the missions that are downtown in all the cities, the winos, the streetwalkers, the prostitutes, and the people in this world that are down and out and all. Let me tell you, the ones that help them the most and change their lives is Jesus Christ, Christianity. That's what helps the most. Now, I said earlier, we're decaying. Our society is beginning to decay. We're seeing it all around us. We're going back to some of the same crazy things that they were doing in the Roman Empire. The way we treat children and some of the other things. But God tells us that we are the salt of the earth. And here's what we need to do, Christians. We need to get the salt out of the warehouse. And we need then to get it out of the salt shakers. And we need to get salt in our society, in our culture, stand up, speak up, do all that we can to live for God and make sure that we are able to do what we can do. I don't know if God will give revival. I don't know what's going to happen. He may, and I'm praying for it, and I know many of you are. I'd love to see revival come. And if God could revive some of the great cities of years ago, He can certainly revive some of the great movements of years ago. He can certainly revive the United States of America. But I'm telling you, the only hope for our future is for you and I to get down and be real salt and real light and do our job so that we can influence our society and influence others for the cause of Christ and bring people to a saving knowledge of Christ. And it also has to do not only with our future, but with the eternal future. What are you going to do with Christ? What have you done with Christ? Because it's not only good for this life and the best thing in this life to be a Christian, the influence of a Christian, but thank God if you're a Christian, when you die, you're going to heaven to be with Jesus forevermore. We need to be salty Christians, and we need to trim our wicks and get our light burning brighter for the glory of God. Christianity is supposed to make an impact. We're still number one in the world. Sad to say, the Muslims are creeping up and coming up on us. We need to do our job. Let's stand, please. God, I thank you for your Son, Jesus. And I thank you for what happened after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and the church was empowered on the day of Pentecost and went forth in a situation which was impossible except for you. Christianity went all over the world. And Father, I pray now you would help us to realize the impact. Bless our missionaries as they go and carry the gospel to people who haven't heard. Help us to do a better job of doing that right here. Knowing the difference that Christianity can make, knowing that it changes people, totally changes. All things become new when they get saved. God, if there's a person here that's not saved tonight, there may be one here. I don't know everyone in this building. Somebody here may not be saved. I pray they'd come to Christ tonight, that they may know this difference, this love, this purpose in life. I pray that we as believers would be genuinely yielded to you, sold out lock, stock, and barrel to the cause of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We'll sing. If God's spoken to your heart, you come. If you're not saved, come and be saved. Would you do it?